build a great, great wall.
Some alien race to come down and threaten us.
Is the singularity near?
The truth is out there.
The military-industrial complex.
The seven mountains of the influencers of culture.
To be as gods, you know.
Change has come to America.
Catapult of propaganda.
From a secure location on top of the ridge in the heart of the beautiful Missouri Ozarks, this is A View from the Bunker. Now, here's Derek Gilbert.
We are living in strange days indeed. As John Lennon once said, most peculiar, mama. That's strange. Was that Julian Lennon? Maybe I'm getting it confused here. Anyway, welcome to A View from the Bunker. I'm Derek Gilbert. Off to an auspicious start here. We thank you for listening or watching. If you're on the YouTube channel, youtube.com/Derek Gilbert. Our guest today is a gentleman that, I'll be honest, I didn't know what to make of him the first time we met. But the more I've gotten to know him, the more I appreciate his heart, his spirit, and his love for the Lord. And he has honored me greatly by asking me to write the foreword for his new book. He is the author of several books, most prominently the co-author of the book, What Was I Thinking?, which shows how our mental approach, our mental and spiritual approach affects every day, affects our health. A new book, which addresses many of the topics we cover here on the program and gets into the reasons that we deal with these topics. And for that, I am much appreciative and, again, honored that he asked me to write the foreword for the book. The new book, Unmasking the Future, it is our honor to welcome to the program a man I am humbled and proud to call friend, Pastor Casper McLeod. Casper, welcome.
I'm delighted to be back with you. You're one of the favorite people I have in the world. And I was telling my daughter, I go, Derek's like so articulate, it's almost like it's all scripted out. How does he do that?
I learned early on in my radio career that you can write all kinds of notes and cheat, you know, and read stuff as long as it doesn't sound like you're reading. So as long as I can, you know, got a few notes here and there, I can usually get by. I credit my mother with that. She was a school teacher in North Dakota when she was young in a one-room schoolhouse. So they still had those back in the day. And she didn't lose that when she decided to give up that career and move to Chicago. She didn't want to be a farmer's wife in the plains of North Dakota. It gets cold up there in the winter, you know. As cold as Chicago is, North Dakota is far worse. But she trained and taught my sister and me to love to read, to learn, and to speak well. And my sister has taken that in a whole nother direction. I mean, she was an engineer. She's just celebrated 30 years with the Michelin Corporation. I mean, she was a designer. You ever been down on a highway and seen one of those 18-wheelers with those double-wide tires, those tires that are, you know, are like twice as wide as she designed the mold for those for Michelin. Mm. So, you know, that's kind of a big deal because those are kind of revolutionary. So I'm proud of my little sister. She's the smart one in the two of us.
She will.
And she speaks. Yeah, exactly. And she speaks French fluently. So she gets to go back to France whenever they have a project that requires an American on the team. So, she's doing fine. Not to go too deeply into your back and your because I want to talk about the book, coming out of a top 40 radio background myself and meeting you for the first time and seeing, okay, this is a guy who could very well have been one of the artists that I was putting on the radio. I was playing, you know, whose music I was playing back in the day. I was like, okay, how did he get from there to here? and we've covered that story in other interviews. So I don't want to go back, you know, over that again, but, I think that's why I said what I said. I didn't know what to make of you at first. Like, what is he doing here? Why? But then, you know, I'm married to somebody who almost had the same story, a track very similar to yours, except through country music. Sharon, that is. She was offered the opportunity to tour as the opening act for George Jones when he was still the top of his game. So it does.
I asked myself that question at times. I asked the Lord. In fact, I was talking to my friend Tommy James from the Shondells yesterday. He's one of my best friends. And I'm going, I don't know how this happened. I mean, I just want to play my music and do my art, you know, and next thing I find I'm doing this with you guys and hear the Watchmen. And it just feels so privileged to be part of this.
But people looking in from outside would look at your career and say, you know, you could have been, I mean, you were signed to Atlantic Records back in the day. You had contacts in the music industry at the highest levels, both in the production side, the business side, and as a musician. And they would look at your current life right now and say, why did you squander the opportunity? Which is what Sharon had to, you know, explain to her bandmates when she told the folks in Nashville, no, I'm not going to thank you for the offer, but no, I'm not going to do it.
Well, it's not over yet. And, you know, the Lord saved the best wine for the end. So I may come back yet with some music, all punching reality and bring it all back. Okay.
Yeah. Well, you're storing up the treasure where it counts, brother.
The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. So that's really got to be the focus.
Amen. Yeah, it's let's dive into the book here. Now, you had asked again, and I can't tell you how much I appreciated the invitation and the honor to write the foreword for your book. And before we began recording, you asked if I would read this. And
I would love for you to read the foreword. It's awesome.
Well, I don't know about that, but it does at least explain, I think, where the book is going.
In America, we love that word, awesome. It's a great word. I think because it's awesome because to me, I mean, you summed up the entire book in one page. So I would love for you to read it.
All right. Well, here's the foreword to the book, Unmasking the Future, Pastor Casper McLeod. We live in an age when American adults are four times more likely to believe in E.T. than in God. Now, that sounds so crazy, you might believe I just made it up. I wish I had. A 2012 survey by National Geographic revealed that 36% of Americans believe UFOs exist. That's about 80 million of us. And 77% believe there is at least evidence that extraterrestrials have visited Earth. Compare those numbers with the results of a 2009 survey by the Barna Group, a Christian research firm that specializes in tracking the state of America's faith. Barna found that only 9% of Americans have a biblical worldview, which they defined as believing in six basic tenets of Christian doctrine: the virgin birth, Christ's sinless life, the literal existence of Satan, and so on. All Christianity 101, as it were. But only 9% of the adults in our Christian nation believe in God as he's revealed himself through his word. Why do these numbers matter? Because the UFO phenomenon is not about science and exploration. It is a religion. Ufology offers false answers to the big questions that have haunted humanity since the beginning of time. Where did we come from? Why are we here? And what happens when we die? If that sounds far-fetched to you, then, with all due respect, you haven't been paying attention. Tens of thousands of people travel across the country every year to UFO festivals in places like Roswell, New Mexico, McMinnville, Oregon, and Joshua Tree, California. Ask attendees why, and they keep coming back to find answers to those questions. Where did we come from? Why are we here? What happens when we die? We Christians have definitive answers to those questions. Why aren't they coming to us? Because all too often, we refuse to engage with seekers who have questions about mysterious lights in the sky or with traumatized victims of experiences they can barely describe, much less understand. It is not a coincidence that the late Harvard psychiatrist Dr. John Mack found more than three dozen points of correlation between the accounts of UFO abductees and victims of satanic ritual abuse. We're not dealing with extraterrestrials. These entities are interdimensional. They are spiritual. They've been here on Earth with us all along. But instead of sharing the good news with people who may be in their hour of greatest need, we often make ourselves an obstacle between them and the gospel of Jesus Christ. The preachers of the ancient aliens gospel are more than happy to listen without judgment. And that's why people are more likely to believe in E.T. than in Yahweh. So before you dismiss any discussion of the UFO phenomenon as a waste of time for ministers of the gospel, I humbly suggest you look around at the culture and ask, why does the church of E.T. have more true believers than Jesus Christ? Pastor Casper McLeod is a man with a gentle spirit and a genuine heart for the Lord. His discernment and courage in recognizing the importance of this issue and addressing it are commendable, and I am honored to call him my friend. The book, Unmasking the Future.
What a wonderful forward. Well,
you shared an electronic copy with me, and I was struck by the chapter titles. And it's not entirely about UFOs, the book. You also get into the transhumanism movement, which is something that we at Skywatch TV deal with a lot. The Illuminati, Nazis, the Information Age, Middle Eastern prophecy, Israel, and Israel's role in the end times. So you cover a lot in a book that is a relatively quick read. It's not a real thick volume. So it's sort of a, well, instead of me describing it for you, how would you describe, what was your goal in setting out to cover so many topics in about 160 pages?
One of the things that, it was a much larger book, but I asked a friend of mine, Laurie Colley, to edit the book, and all this stuff was pretty much new. She was in, we both came through a lot of ministry together in the healing end, and we saw a lot of people healed, and we studied all the things to do to help people get well, and saw a lot of miraculous healings. But this was all foreign territory for her, and I realized, you know, I'd probably written 500 pages, and it was almost like preaching to the choir.
Yeah.
And so she started, you know, helping me sift through. She said, let's just do this, this, and that. And now I've gotten so many letters of encouragement from people that said, basically, I read Unmasking the Future, and it took the fear factor out of it for me. I'm no longer afraid of the future, which you shouldn't be anyways. Why would you, you know, who projects fear into the future but the enemy of your soul, right?
Right, right.
And he's always projecting your imaginations. If you can get use of fear, it's almost like the enemy's figured out how to get people to self-destruct, because you start bowing down to a spirit of fear, which God didn't give you. And then it releases an over-secretion of cortisol, which breaks up your T cells and busts up your immune system. So the devil just sort of stands back and laughs at you. And when you're bowing down to the wrong kingdom, then the Lord of all creation stands back, because he's a perfect gentleman. He's not going to interfere, right? I tell people, like, and I think I said it here, the Watchman. Yes, absolutely. God is in control, but he's not going to control your thought life. That's your part, right? Mm-hmm. And it says, with God, all things are possible. We can do miraculous stuff that way. John 14:12, right? This and greater things shall you do in Jesus' name. Well, you're never going to do anything greater than Jesus, but if we all did what he said to do, we should be seeing a whole lot more people saved,
yeah,
sanctified, healed, and miraculous stuff happening. So basically, I think I tried to give a basic overview to really what's going on, as much detail as I can cram in there without being overcumbersome, so people can get an idea of what to do next. Not just information, but what to do about it. I mean, that's kind of the theme, right? What do we do with this information? It should draw you closer to Christ. It shouldn't make you fearful. And even this conference this past weekend, we had all these erudite, great intellectual minds and researchers all coming together. It was such a wonderful, to me, it's like a family reunion when we get together and do these.
Yeah.
And I think that was the consensus. It was all harmonious. Nobody knew what anybody else was going to really say. And I mean, I found myself kind of scratching out things, going, oh, I shouldn't talk about that because somebody else did, and I'll go here and I'll go there. And then LA saw me in the corner before I went up to speak, and I'm kind of scribbling new notes and new ideas. You know, like, Lord, what am I going to do now? And he comes up and he whispers in my ear, because, you know, we didn't want to talk. Somebody was up there speaking. And he goes, stop overthinking it. Just go up and do it. So then I get up there and the lapel mic isn't working properly. So So I'm thinking I'm going to have to talk like a Baptist preacher. I'm going to really have to project my voice now, because it was a pretty big crowd. And then the tech guy, you know, came up and handed me a wireless mic, and immediately kind of flashed back to trigger memories of when I was in a rock band. And I couldn't help but start singing My Generation, talking about Matthew 24, which, you know, kind of brought in the laughter factor. And
right.
Who knows what happened from there? I just totally blew off my outline and all the studying, all the research. I just went, I don't know, you just submit to God. I mean, every time I played, and I still do this, I just, Lord, let them experience you and not me. So much better that way. Just flow in the Holy Spirit. Let him say, I didn't really mean to be entertaining, or didn't mean to be funny, but, you know, I guess that's what was needed. Because there was a lot of, you know, basically, it was kind of a, you know, doom and gloom with a lot of the information that was being passed about and taught.
Well, you know, that's one of the really
desperately need.
That's one of the really remarkable things, not just about this conference, but about many of the conferences that we've attended over the years, because we are dealing with times where trying to be aware of the enemy's devices. And the enemy, these fallen angels, these rebels, rebellious small g gods that rejected the authority of the Most High God, have one goal in mind. They know their days are numbered. Psalm 82, God has decreed that they will die like men and fall like any prince. They just want to take as many of us with them to the lake of fire as they possibly can. They want to kill you, viewer, listener, and everyone you love. And that's pretty dark. But when we get together in gatherings like the Hear the Watchman Conference or the Blessed Hope Prophecy Forum or the upcoming True Legends Conference, any one of these gatherings, or when we just get together even in a session like this, or today we had here at Skywatch TV, Brent Miller Jr., Brent Miller Sr. talking about their film, The Coming Convergence, which is about the end of all things here on Earth. And it is a disturbing picture for those who don't know Jesus Christ and don't know the end of the story. You know, if they don't believe it, they don't know it, they've never heard it perhaps, the future is frightening. But in spite of all of this information, that is dark and disturbing because the enemy is evil incarnate. There's a spirit of joy amongst the people, and that's really remarkable when you're talking about, the fact that Islam, for example, will be the largest religion on planet Earth within 50 years, unless something changes. We just saw the horrors coming out of the Middle East this past week with the chemical gas attack on civilians in Syria. And then, of course, the response, which may lead to an escalation of the war there. These are not pleasant topics, but God knew all this from the beginning. And when we get together with believers who understand that, yes, you know, these are dire and desperate times that call for us to pray unceasingly, getting together and knowing that the spirit of fear is banished from a gathering like that, and the sense of family that comes from being around other people who understand that and who get it, is overwhelming, and there's just a spirit of joy that permeates the group.
Well, it's, you know, God's righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost, and you and I witnessed I was up there playing with Paul, Pastor Paul Begley. We witnessed hundreds of people coming forward and entered into salvation.
Yes,
they later got water baptized in the swimming pool.
Yeah.
So, and then when Russ, taught on deliverance, we saw hundreds of people coming forward to get delivered. And you know, I reckon, like I think I said at the conference, ships don't sink because water around them. Ships sink because the water gets inside them. So don't let what's happening in the world right now get inside you and sink you down. Best not to focus on the wind and the wave, but on the living word of God.
Amen. Amen. Well, again, many churches, as we've discussed, I alluded to in the foreword that I wrote for the book, you know, many churches and people in churches ignore topics that some people are looking for answers for. You know, the ufology community is seeking spiritual answers in these lights in the sky that they can't explain. But there are, you know, other fringe topics that people who are fascinated with ancient cyclopean architecture, you know, how were the pyramids built, Machu Picchu and things like that, giants, fallen angels, evil spirits, demons. These are questions that again, as Christians, we should have the authoritative answers for. How did you approach the topics in order to present them in a way to make it clear to people, look, these are things that while they're disturbing, it's the work of the enemy and God has this under control. So you don't need to fear. How did you approach that?
I kind of go to Daniel 3. We have Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, and three Jewish guys that only have a portion of the Holy Scripture at this point. They know enough not to bow down to the wrong kingdom. Because, I mean, as you were just saying, it's very dark. And I reckon the devil, you know, he hates himself. He's full of self-hatred. He's full of fear. And he hates everybody around him. He hates the people who work for him. I mean, there's no love at all. It's all dark. So here we got these three guys that, you know, come up before King Nebuchadnezzar and say, look, you can't do anything to us unless God allows it, and we're not bowing down. Bottom line, we're not going to bow down. And even if our God doesn't deliver us out of your hand, we're still not bowing down. Okay, so they did go into the fiery furnace. And you imagine, what were they thinking? They see the guys throwing him in, died, just putting him in the flame. And then they get in the flame, right? They had to get in the fire. And then a fourth figure appears.
Mm-hmm.
And they come out, even smelling like smoke. Not a hair is singed. And then it changes history. King Nebuchadnezzar says, okay, we're going to serve your God. He's the more powerful God. Well, yeah. Can't that happen in a nuclear exchange? I mean, God's going to preserve his people. You just have to believe. I mean, nothing's going to happen if you don't believe the word of God, right? It says that in Mark 16. For those who believe, these signs shall happen. I mean, I saw people healed at the conference. People were coming up to me asking me to pray for them. I had several people that claimed to have been abducted and, you know, said they had implants and all the rest of it. And
yeah.
Well, the Lord can dissolve the head. In fact, one started manifesting at my table and I said, not on my watch, this is going to happen, especially with all these people around. I just prayed for, you know, Lord, like, there's actually a chemical called ANF, which is it's a supernatural chemical that floods your body from your heart, which is like a calming. It's just wonderful for you when that chemical is released. And supernatural peace. Remember, the Lord said, not as the world gives peace, but my peace. It's supernatural. In fact, it's all supernatural with the Lord, and that's where people miss it. I was surprised. I did an interview with our friend Lisa Haven.
Yeah.
And noticed there was people that comment. I think she might have removed it now, but there's people that were commenting, well, I can't listen to this storytelling guy. I mean, nobody's died except for Jesus. I mean, we hear that. It's like, do you not ever read your Bible? I mean, in the Old Testament and the New Testament, There's a number of cases of resurrection. In fact, the Lord even commanded, go forward, to heal, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, right?
Mm-hmm.
You got back in 1 Kings, you got Elijah raising the widow's son. You got the Shemite woman in 2 Kings that Elijah raised, Jairus' daughter in Luke, Lazarus, of course.
Yeah. You know,
Peter raised somebody, Tabitha. It's like, what is wrong with the church that they don't know this?
Yeah.
What are they doing? That's another reason you need to come to these conferences, because if you're not getting the information you need in these end times, this is where you get it, because you get all these great minds coming together. The Lord's, the Holy Spirit's, you know, operating through everyone there, and it's just an awesome time. All the gifts are operational.
Yeah. And you know, I will tell you, Casper, that 25 years ago, certainly, even 20 years ago, when Sharon and I first met, I was not one who would have agreed with that statement, but I see too many people and I've gotten to know too many people who are otherwise rational, functional human beings who have stories like that, who can testify to things that have happened that have no natural explanation. So, I have changed my perspective, and especially once you accept that the Bible is a true and accurate account of what happened in the New Testament and that Jesus validated the Old Testament. You know, you can't pick right. And you can't pick and choose then and say, well, I can't accept this because this doesn't fit with science. Well, yeah, but.
Well, just before I came to the conference, I prayed for a man with my daughter that had a blockage in his heart. I mean, they had the medical records, they have the scans, they got a big blockage. We got to go in there and do surgery. We prayed for him on Sunday, and on Monday he had a nuclear test. Tuesday I prayed for him at 10 o'clock in the morning again. I put my hand on his chest area, and I commanded that heart to be normal. An hour later, the doctors called with confirmation. We don't understand. There's nothing wrong with your heart. The blockage has just vanished out of your body. We can't explain this, right? Well, this is what the Lord Jesus will do for anyone that's willing to come in humbleness and believe him at his word.
Mm. The world is obviously opposed to Jesus and the message that he brought. And there are so many of us in the West, and myself for most of my life included, who are so indoctrinated by scientism that, our actual priesthood are the guys in white lab coats telling us what we can and cannot perceive, and anything we cannot perceive with our finite human senses doesn't exist. And yet
Well, I reckon the Lord invented science just to show us how glorious he is.
Well, that's really the way we need to pursue it. And that's why Sharon and I produce that weekly program, Sci Friday, so that we can look at news from the science realm and just say, you know, just remind viewers, don't, you know, let these guys making these claims confuse you. You're right. Science is there to help us understand the rules of the game that God designed. But remember, the design, the game that he designed is not bigger than the designer, okay? He's outside of the game, if you will.
You know, and then you got the social engineering. You got all this, you know, the enemy's bringing into view. I mean, he's trying to discredit the truth and bring, just like the Nazis, if they keep telling lies long enough, people would accept it as truth. We're warned in 2 Corinthians 10:5, you know, casting down imaginations. It starts with your imagination. Every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to being to Christ. You got 30,000 to 70,000 thoughts a day. How many are sneaking by that are ungodly?
Yeah, a lot.
We got to step godly every time. So I think at the conference, I shared a little bit about, I was joking around with people. I said, one way to tell, you know, if your thoughts are a lie from the devil or a truth from the Lord is to simply add in Jesus' name after every thought.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I'm such a loser in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
Nobody loves me in Jesus' name. Yeah. Well, obviously it doesn't harmonize with the word of God. But if you say, you know, I'm a powerful man of valor or woman of valor in Jesus' name, that's going to harmonize with the word of God and within our spirits. And then that expresses a thought. You know, like, I mean, just for people that, you know, if you say you're hungry, it causes a protein to be formed. You know this, and Sharon, you teach this stuff. It causes the digestive enzyme to form. And because we're all, like, you know, very electrical with all these impulses, every thought we have. And then it travels down the axon, the vestibule, to release the neurotransmitters into the synapses, and that continues to the dendrite. And, you know, final destination, it's going to produce the appropriate protein. So if you say, hey, I'm really happy and I'm beautiful and I'm handsome and I'm wonderful, it's going to produce those kind of proteins that make up, you know, the form of the muscles, the facial expressions, your skin. It's a really good thing. You know, bless your limbic system. Bless your endocrine system. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
That's from the power of the tongue. So, you know, there you go.
Well, now talking about the thought, our thought lives and the impact that our thoughts have. To clarify, you know, first, and then we'll get to the second question. The first question, just to clarify, you're not talking about like a mind over matter type thing, where like the New Age teaching of the Secret, where if we focus our thoughts on something, we can physically manifest a change in it.
The laws of attraction.
yeah, the law of attraction, exactly.
This is the word of God, right? Death and life from the power of the tongue. You know, we fight not against flesh and blood, against invisible principalities and powers and high places, wickedness, right in the world. So we're dealing with an invisible. Okay, so people didn't know about germs right until Louis Pasteur come along, on basically, you know, and he showed them. I think he called them amicals when he first told the Royal Academy of, you know, I found these things, you know, these little animal-looking things going around under the microscope. We didn't know about that. Well, now we don't. We know about it. It's changed everything, right? Our understanding. And so when we understand there's an invisible enemy, and we put him under a microscope and expose him, like a spirit of bitterness or a spirit of unforgiveness, and we see how it manifests. I mean, let's face it, all of us have probably seen. One time I was picked up at the airport, and there was a beautiful Christian woman, you know, Sunday school teacher, driving me and a couple of pastors to the airport. And somebody cut us off in traffic, you know, and words came out of her mouth that were like, what? Where did that come from? Well, it wasn't the kingdom of God. And it wasn't her, because she's, you know. So let's guess it was the wrong kingdom, an ungodly kingdom, used profanity that came right out of her mouth. You know, from out of the heart, the mouth speaks. So sometimes stuff gets in there, like in 2 Timothy 2:24, it says, the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, that God prevent should give them the acknowledging the truth, that they may recover themselves from the snare of the devil, who have taken him captive at his will. I'm starting to feel like Jack Van Hippy now. I'm starting to quote scripture everywhere. But it's telling us the devil's got people trapped in areas of their life where they, you know, maybe it's a guy that's, you know, in the pornography, you know, he's in the church, he's doing all the church stuff, but back at home, he's messing around with pornography. He's getting trapped. It's causing like a big hole in his brain. It gets bigger and bigger, and he needs more highs to get there. That's the way enemies set up. Or the women in their romance novels, the same thing, really. They're trapped, and they need freedom. They need, Jesus said, know the truth, and truth will make you free. First, it might get you a wee bit mad, but you need to get free. It's time for the church to put on the mind of Christ, you know, that he may instruct you. We have the mind of Christ. Mm. First Corinthians.
Thing that shocked me in reading about pornography, and I suspect that this is true for a number of other things as well, but that the chemicals that are released when consuming pornography actually bathe the brain in a chemical soup that begin to cause the neurons of the brain to form new connections, which is why you say, you know, you need a bigger and bigger high in order. In other words, viewing pornography causes a physical change in your brain. It changes that's shocking. Now, the enemy, of course, keeps using pornography because it's the enemy uses pornography to draw men away and drive families apart because it works. It works.
It's doing is it destroys their, in the frontal lobe, it destroys their good decision-making. Now they can't make good decisions. That's why they, you know, do such vile things.
Yeah.
You know, James 1:22, be a doer of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. I mean, right now, let's face it, the church has got a lot of people that are just hearers only. You know, oh, that sounds really good. That was a really, you know, great sermon. Thanks, you know. And then they go back and do worldly things.
Yeah.
As the conference show, I mean, we are in the last of the last day. This is happening, you know. We got the UFO phenomena happening. I mean, somebody asked me, so you believe in UFOs? I go, you know, you can ask me, do I believe in presidents and kings and queens? You know, you can be delusional about it and say, oh, well, there's no such thing as kings and queens and presidents, right? But we know that there are. The evidence is overwhelming. When is the church going to step up and deal with it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And well, the second part of the question regarding our thoughts is regards the information that we take in. And in fact, that's a subject I deal with in my book, and that's why the subtitle is Satan's PSYOPs from Eden to Armageddon. It's psychological operation is just a government, a military operation to change what people believe by feeding them false or misleading information so that they will change how they behave. Because what you do depends on what you believe. You've got a chapter in here, chapter 7, that deals with the Nazis, titled Nazis in the Information Age. Why did you include that, and why did you tie the Nazis to our modern information age?
Well, because the Nazis brought over 1,500, or America, rather, that brought over 1,500 Nazi scientists and started a little thing called NASA.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I wrote about this in the book. I mean, Hitler apparently wasn't a suicide in the bunker. The evidence that somebody came in and investigated, I wrote about that in Russia. So these are not Hitler remains. This is not the bone fragments. And apparently, you know, escaped Argentina.
Hmm.
What has been going on with that? We got shadow governments in place. It's time for people. I mean, the more of us that talk about this and expose these things, that, I mean, I know they sound fringe. I know they sound crazy. But then you got like the writings of the Freemasonry, Albert Pike, telling us about the three world wars that, and the two have gone precisely as he said in the 1800s. He said, this is how it's going to go down. And the third war was going to include Islam. And we're seeing it all played out right now. And you got really wacky stuff. You got that guy that was, I forget his name, was digging out in the sand, you know, and he uncovers Nimrod's remains, Osiris, Gilgamesh, right? You know, and now the Vatican has a head in their position, and they're going to do the DNA transfer. And what, you know, you've been teaching at Skywatch about CRISPRs. And I mean, this is all happening in real time, friends. So this is a time to get right with the Lord on every level, because you got these delusional Luciferian scientists. I think I said that maybe over dinner we were talking. I said, how come, you know, the scientist was arrested for helping Al-Qaeda a couple of years ago that worked for CERN? It's a little back pages, a little poster stamp article, right? It's like, what is going on here? And we've got, you know, all these. I think one of the things I wanted to impress was that upon everyone, when I was a baby believer, somebody gave me Fox's Book of Martyrs. And, you know, it was a pretty heavy thing to read as a baby believer. But I realized if you haven't found the true gospel worth dying for, you haven't found the true gospel worth living for. Hmm. So we got all this information and disinformation coming at us, and we've got to know the truth. And the only actual truth we've got is the word of God. And then even then, you've got to be careful because we've got a lot of modern translations that have obscured the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, we've got lying signs and wonders happening every day, increasing UFO manifestations, you know, the abductions accounts, the gene splicing, the orbs, experiments going on in laboratories where they got half human, half animal, you know, like when Jesus said, as in the days of Noah, that's when I'll be, we're there. How much more, what else can we do except jump up on the wall and say, we're watchmen on the wall, please pay attention. We're the times that Jesus said, you can tell the weather, how much more should you know the season we're in? We're there, please understand, get right with the Lord. That's what we're saying.
Amen. You've included a chapter on Israel and the Middle East in prophecy. What do you see forthcoming, or what was your... including prophecy, because prophecy and interpretation of the timeline of the end is a subject that Christians can divide over. The post-tribbers and the pre-tribbers and the mid-tribbers and the pre-rathers, and they all, I mean, there is a tendency, I think, for all of us, especially men, we get the testosterone going, I got to prove that I'm right,
yeah.
Which, you know, at the expense of fellowship, which is a tragedy in this day and age. What was your purpose, your goal for including a chapter on Israel and end times prophecy regarding the Middle East?
Well, Israel's a key player, and you know, and you got guys selling, you know, underground bunkers right now.
Yeah,
the technology right now is in place. They can microwave you, you know, and get away with murder basically at this point, right? They can find you within a couple inches of where you're standing anywhere in the world. So you're going to get a, you know, bunker, and you're going to hide underground, right? You're going to be just like the other side that's, you know, let the rocks and, you know, fall on us and take us out. We the living God, the wrath of God is coming. So I had to write about Israel because that's really where the prophetic times clock starting in Revelations. I think it's chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed are those that read the prophecy that he wants you to know about it. Why would he put it there? And I think I shared earlier with at the conference about as prophetic as it gets, because people come up to me all the time and they say, Pastor, have you got a word for me? Go, yeah, read your Bible. Read the Holy Scriptures. That's a great word.
Amen.
Because it's as prophetic as it gets. So Deuteronomy 28, it says, and shall come to pass. That's prophetic. And it shall come to pass. But then there's an if. And it shall come to pass if. So that's prophecy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it shall come to pass if thou shalt hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord thy God and do all the statutes this day, then all these blessings will come and overtake you. And then at least, you know, I mean, your marriage will be blessed, your business, your health, everything's going to be blessed. But if you don't do what God's saying, then you go outside of God's protection and the enemy can eat you for lunch, because that's really what happens. And it lists more, you know, these we don't like the word curses, but it lists all the curses, which are all the diseases and sicknesses, and even talks about hemorrhoids. It talks about hemorrhoids in there. They call them hemorrhoids in the King James.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've never met anyone that said a hemorrhoid was a blessing, right?
No.
And then it talks about,
believe me,
verse 61 it says, and in every disease, so all the new ones that, you know, the shadow governments are cooking up in laboratories, they're even included, all the new strains of diseases that they're unleashing, the chemical warfare, it's all there. God knows it all from the beginning. So
So what is the takeaway you hope people get from reading the book Unmasking the Future? If you could boil it down to one message.
I believe it's going to help people draw closer to Christ and give them a hope and for the future. And that they can be a man or woman of valor, and just like Gideon hiding in the, you know, wine press, right? It was the worst place you could be doing that activity. And the angel shows up and says, man of valor, you're right. Oh, I certainly didn't feel like one at the time, but yeah. God called him to do that. And next, so there he is. He's a man of valor because God called him to be one, and he's calling you to be one too. He that's what he wants. He wants you to know who you are in Christ. And if you're going to be a child of God, then act like one all the time. You know, I talked about that book. Remember, I said something about fleas. They're little tiny insects, but they can jump tremendous distances. Yeah. I mean, if a human could jump like a flea, we'd be like the what is that movie, the Absent-Minded Professor, right? We could jump like 900 feet in the air.
Yeah.
With a flubber, right? You know,
The Nutty Professor. Yeah.
But then you can limit fleas if you could train them in 3 days. If you put a lid on the jar, they won't only jump up to where the lid is, and after 3 days they go, you know, I don't want to hit my head anymore, so they just won't jump that high, and then their offspring won't jump high either. And that's really what the enemy's been doing, which is something called transgenerational epigenetic inheritance, and it's been passed on, something invisible influencing thoughts and expressions that are being passed on generationally. It's in Numbers 14, chapter 14, I think. So, you know, take the lid off. All things are possible with God. Don't put limits on what God can do in your life, and don't put limits on what he can do on somebody else's life. It says, in fact, Mark 11, 24, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, that's communing with God, you know, intimate relationship. When you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them.
Casper McLeod is the author of the new book, Unmasking the Future. He's the pastor of the Upper Room Fellowship. The website of the church is theupperroomfellowship.org. His music is available online at caspermcleodmusic.com. Casper, where do people get a copy of the book?
You can get them at upperroomfellowship.org. You can get them on Amazon. I'm believing it'd be a really good book to give to somebody that doesn't know these things are happening, because it'll draw them in without scaring them, and they'll come away going, hey, I'm not afraid of the future anymore.
Yeah.
We shouldn't be afraid of anything.
Amen. Amen. Brother, good to see you.
They will know we're Christians and our fearlessness.
That's it. Iron sharpening iron instead of iron running people through who disagree with us. Brother, always good to see you and talk to you, and look forward to seeing you again.
One of the most profound statements, I think at the Hear the Marchman was you getting up there and saying, you know, the church is running around arguing about side issues when the enemy is launching the final assault. I that was absolutely brilliant. It was a word from God coming through you.
Well, to be honest with you, I didn't even remember saying it that way. So I think you're making me sound more eloquent than I actually am. So, but I appreciate that. Brother, we'll talk to you again soon.
God bless everyone.
Check the show notes at vftb.net for a link to Pastor Casper's website, where you can find out where to get the copy of the book. And also, I'll put a link in there to his music site as well, which is very much worth a visit. We have got a couple of programs with Casper coming up on Skywatch TV, and we've been listening to some of his CDs back in the office, and it is easily as good as anything I was putting on the radio when I was a program director for Top 40 Radio 30 years ago. So very much looking forward to sharing some of that, you should take advantage of it as well. Again, check the links in the show notes at vftb.net, or if you're watching this on the YouTube channel, youtube.com/Derek Gilbert, you'll find it in the notes below this video, where you can also subscribe, hit that little red button in the bottom right corner, so you'll get an email notice, if you've got a YouTube account, of course, every time there's a new program that's posted. Also been posting a series of short video clips regarding about the book, the content of the book, The Great Inception. Seems to me that since we're using this YouTube channel for all sorts of other things, why not use it to actually let people know what's in the book? A way for you to get a sample of what is in the book without having to spend the money for it. But hopefully, you know, the evil plan is that you will actually be encouraged to get the book and then read what is in there. The Bible is a chronicle of the rebellion of the gods against the God who created them, the one true God. And when you understand that, reading the Bible suddenly is a lot more interesting. The Bible doesn't have to be boring. The Bible is a record of a spiritual conflict, which you're in the middle of, whether you realize it or not. So that's the point of the Great Inception. And I've got a number of those videos posted at the website for the book, thegreatinception.com. But if you're on the YouTube channel, just look for the playlist that says The Great Inception, and you'll find those, and I'll be rolling those out two or three a week until I run out of material. So hopefully be creating a little more material this weekend. I don't know if it'll be videotaped, but this coming weekend on April the 30th, I'll be speaking at a church in Joplin, Missouri. It's Southside Apostolic Faith Trinity Church on South Main Street. You'll find a link and a map at vftb.net. Just look in the events tabs on the right-hand side there. I'll be speaking in the morning service at 10:45 a.m. Sharon will be there as well, and we look forward to meeting you. If you've got church somewhere else in the area in the morning, we'll be back at 2 in the afternoon, kind of a special time and gathering time. And there will be a potluck meal just before that. And you're welcome to join the church there for that too, so I am told. So I hope to have an opportunity to meet you there. And they give me an opportunity to talk, and, you know, it doesn't take much convincing or twisting of my arm to get me to go. So, again, information on that posted at vftb.net. Look in the right-hand column for upcoming events. We'll see Casper McLeod again in August, the Sign in the Heavenlies Redemption Convention. This is Hear the Watchman, Idaho, Boise, Idaho, August 18th through the 22nd. Dr. Michael Lake will be there, L.A. Marzulli, Pastor Paul Begley, and others. Again, Casper McLeod being one of those as well. We'll be there with the conference beginning Friday afternoon, the 18th, running through Sunday, the 20th. But then on the 21st at 9:45 a.m., we'll board a bus, climb to the Continental Divide, and watch the total eclipse of the sun. So that'll be a once-in-a-lifetime thing. Hope you can join us there. For more information, log on to hearthewatchman.com. In September, it's the True Legends Conference at the fabulous Mansion Theater. That's September 15th through the 17th. I have been honored to be invited to speak along with Steve Quayle, Tom Horn, L.A. Marzulli. Just that lineup alone is worth the price of admission. But Dr. Michael Lake, Timothy Alberino as well, Pastor David Langford, and Spanish explorer Anselm P. Rambla, all of us together that weekend in Branson, the True Legends Conference. For more information, gen6conferences.com. That's gen6conferences.com. And then the biggest prophecy conference of the year, the Blessed Hope Prophecy Forum in October, October 13th through the 15th. That's at the Embassy Suites Hotel in Norman, Oklahoma, Oklahoma City, basically. Gary Stearman and Tom Horn heading that up. L.A. Marzulli, Dr. Randall Price, Dr. Tommy Ice, Bill Koenig, Bill Salas, Rabbi Jonathan Kahn, and of course, the smartest person I know, Sharon K. Gilbert. Josh Peck, also there from the Skywatch TV team. Many others. You'll find all the information and registrations at prophecywatchers.com. That's prophecywatchers.com. Please join our Bible study every week. The Gilbert House Fellowship deals with an hour of the Old Testament and an hour of the New Testament as we go through the Bible in chronological order. This week was really interesting because we got through several chapters of Revelation, chapters 10 through 13, the beast that rises out of the sea, and found some points of congruence again with the Old Testament study as we dealt with the prophetic chapters, some of the prophetic chapters of Isaiah and the book of Micah. And all of those studies are posted online, audio only, and you'll find those all going back to Genesis 1:1 at gilberthouse.org. That's gilberthouse.org. Take a moment. I would sure appreciate it if you leave a review at iTunes or Stitcher or wherever else fine podcasts are sold. And of course, we discuss the issues raised here at our Facebook page, facebook.com/viewfromthebunker, which is a production of Gilbert House and released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 4.0 International License. The opening theme is by Kevin McLeod. His website is incompetech.com. The opening narrator, announcer, DC Good. Please remember, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. I'm Derek Gilbert, and this is A View from the Bunker.